Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with President Obama's pledge to dedicate his remaining time in office to raising the minimum wage and reversing the dangerous and growing inequality and lack of upward mobility in America. Joining us from one of the many demonstrations across the country by fast food workers, union organizers, and community supporters is Kendall Fells, the president and organizing director for Fast Food Forward, a movement of New York City fast food workers demanding living wages and workers' rights. We will discuss the struggle of fast food workers who the president mentioned work their tails off and are still living at or barely above poverty. Then we'll hear from Silvia Allegretto, who is a labor economist and co-chair of the Center on Wage and Employment Dynamics at UC Berkeley, who researches family budgets, low-wage labor markets, inequality, and minimum wages. We will discuss what the president calls the defining challenge of our time, the growing gap between the rich and the poor, and look into the plight of bank tellers who do not make a living wage while banks are enjoying record profits, a sign that we are fast declining into what Warren Buffett warned we are in danger of becoming, a plantation economy. Then finally, although the death of Nelson Mandela should remind us of what he stood for in terms of racial justice, human rights, and reconciliation, we are obliged to cover what is going on in the middle of Africa, in the Central African Republic, where a military coup installed a Muslim leader in a predominantly Christian country, leading to sectarian massacres and counter-massacres, mostly against innocent civilians. The United Nations Director at Human Rights Watch, Philippe Boulopian, who was recently in the Central African Republic, joins us to discuss the danger of one of the poorest nations on earth becoming the latest killing fields and a haven for armed groups. And joining us now is Kendall Fells, who's the president and organizing director for Fast Food Forward, a movement of New York fast food workers who are protesting to raise wages and gain rights at work. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kendall Fells.
Thank you so much.
You're protesting a day after the president made a speech in which he talked about the relentless decade-long trends of growing inequality and social immobility in this country and saying that the gap between the rich and the poor was the defining challenge of our time. And he specifically mentioned fast food workers, saying these are people who work their tails off and are still living at or barely above poverty. So what's your sense then of following on from those remarks, and what kind of response are you getting from supporters and regular customers to these fast food places that you're protesting at?
We agree 100% with the president. That's exactly what these workers have been saying since November 29th last year, when the first 200 New York City fast food workers went on strike from about 30 stores. What this is really about is these workers are saying that if we want to get the American economy back on track and do things the right way, then we have to put more money in the pockets of low-wage workers. Fast food workers, airport workers, Walmart workers, low-wage workers are the ones who spend money in this economy. And, you know, if you look at this $200 billion fast food industry, what you see is a corporate greed and a corporate gravy train that has no brakes on it. So what these workers are trying to do is put the brakes on the fast food industry and their corporate gravy train, and it's a $200 billion industry. But workers who work in this industry live in complete poverty. They live in homeless shelters that are subsidized by taxpayers' money. They're on food stamps, even if they're full-time. More than half full-time fast food workers are on food stamps, subsidized by taxpayers. And all the while this is happening, McDonald's and Burger King and corporations like that are making off like fat cats. And, you know, ultimately, this is going to ruin the American economy. They're saying by 2020, half the jobs in America are going to be low-wage jobs. And these workers are saying it's time to do something about it.
And you're at the demonstration as we speak, or one of the demonstrations around the country. Here in Los Angeles, where I'm calling you from, there are, of course, demonstrations underway, and some of the slogans are pretty interesting. Some of the slogans are, keep your burgers, keep your fries, make our wages supersized, better pay, better L.A. What kind of messages are you putting out in front of the fast food restaurants in New York, Kendall?
The message that we're putting out is fast food forward. And what we're talking about is moving the fast food industry forward. Ultimately, you know, fast food is one of the fastest growing industries in New York City, the biggest and fastest growing industry in the country. And these are the jobs, you know, these used to be, you know, just jobs that teenage kids had, trying to make a few extra bucks. But once the economy crashed in 2008, 2009, like, look, these are career jobs. You know, this is the fastest growing industry in the country. These are jobs that people are going to get because there are no other jobs. You know, all the jobs that are being replaced since 2008 and 2009 are low-wage service jobs. They pay, you know, less than $10 or less than $12 an hour, and there's no way that people can raise a family off of that. So people out here just playing signs that say fast food forward and signs to say we can't survive off $7.25 because overwhelmingly, whether you've been there 10 years or 2 months, that's what fast food workers in New York City are making, about $7.25 an hour.
Well, that barely covers the subway. I mean, when you make the point to both the people you're demonstrating against and the American citizens that you want to get on your side, when you make the point that fast food workers rely on public assistance to the tune of $7 billion in taxpayers' dollars per year because they're not getting a working wage, what's the response?
I mean, I think the growth of the campaign from one city with 200 workers and in 12 months to over 200 cities and thousands of workers shows what kind of response we're getting, because not only are there workers that are out on strike, what we see is that, you know, not only fast food workers, what we see is that there are other restaurant workers starting to come out on strike. There are retail workers that are starting to join the strike. These workers have been able to garner huge support from the religious community and pastors, politicians on a city level, state level, federal level. Over 50 Democrats just sent a letter to the CEO of McDonald's saying it's time you need to raise the wages for your workers, because that's how we get the American economy on track. So I think it's pretty clear that the public supports the move that these workers are saying. And look, overwhelmingly, the public supports a raise in the minimum wage. These workers are not fighting for a raise in the minimum wage, though their campaign has created conversations in Seattle where they won $15, you know, where the president's talking about raising the minimum wage, same thing in New York. These workers have changed the narrative in this country, where people realize if we don't raise the minimum wage and we don't get these billion-dollar corporations to start paying their fair share, then, you know, this country is going to crash and burn, and the only thing that's going to be left is a corporate gravy train of 1% of people who are able to have a lot of money while all the rest of us live on the streets.
Again, I'm speaking with Kendall Fells, who's the president and organizing director for Fast Food Forward, a movement of New York City fast food workers who are joining protests across the country to raise wages and gain rights for workers. Now, you mentioned the SeaTac airport in Seattle, where the local council, I guess, the local municipality, has raised the workers' wages to $15 an hour, particularly at that big airport in Seattle. That's being challenged by Alaska Airwaves. What's your understanding of why corporations don't want to pay their workers, a living wage when they are making record profits? What's their rationalization?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's just corporate greed. It's corporate greed. These companies are worried about one thing, and that's their bottom line. You know, if you look at a lot of the stores here in New York City, you know, you see some of these employers are even trying to pay people less than a minimum wage. You know, you see wage theft. You see all these things happening on various levels. And what it all boils down to is employers are greedy. And so, you know, we have fast food workers that are involved in the movement in New York and across the country that are over 30, over 40 years old, you know, been working there over 3, over 5, over 7 years and never received a raise or received 1 10-cent raise. There's no rational reason. When you look at corporations like McDonald's bringing in billions, you know, Wendy's bringing in billions, Burger King bringing in billions, there's no rational way that a reasonable person could really make sense in their mind why you would be bringing home billions, and literally the people who made you the money, whose production, by the way, is going up every year, every 10 years, production is going up for workers, but their wages are not going up. It's nothing but corporate greed, and they're getting away with it because they can. And what they realize now is that there's a movement of fast food workers and low-wage workers in general, because you know what happened with Walmart on Black Friday? Same thing. These workers are going on strike. Like, people are fed up. It's like people can't even, you know, Some of our workers here have to make a decision. It's like I have $5. It takes me $2.50 to swipe to get to work and $2.50 to get home. Do I work? Do I walk a mile? Do I work walk an hour and a half to work, or do I swipe this card? If I swipe the card, I can't eat. If I walk, it's a long walk, but at least I can eat. And those are the type of decisions people have to make. We had one of our workers, Shanita from Brooklyn, who gave an interview, and she said her and her husband have to alternate days of eating. So she eats on Monday, he eats on Tuesday, she eats on Wednesday because she only makes $7.25. And if this is the type of country that these corporations think they're going to create here in America, I think they're sadly mistaken, and that's what fast food workers are starting to show them.
So is there any research, Kendall, that's been done on customers at fast food restaurants, the extent to which they want their fellow Americans, the people that are serving them, to have a living wage? I mean, surely people who are customers at fast food restaurants, if they were polled, my guess would be that they'd be willing to pay a few cents extra to know that the people that are serving them aren't going hungry and having to make the choices that you're talking about, not being able to afford either a bus fare or subway fare at the expense of a meal.
I think that's a good question. Look, I think one of our workers, Alvin Major, said it best today. He's been there, multiple years. He sees the food prices go up every year. Every year the food prices are going up anyway. The only difference is none of that money is going into the pockets of the employees. Corporations are raising food prices, so they can put more money in their pocket. So, if you look at, I haven't seen any actual polls on customers of fast food restaurants, but it's pretty clear that, three-fourths of Americans support a raise in the minimum wage. And anecdotally on the ground, what you see when we have strike lines and workers on strike is customers come out and they support. Customers don't go inside the store when they find out why workers are on strike. I think that it is clear that Americans as a whole are fed up with the corporate greed and the nonsense that's going on, and people need money in their pockets, and they need to be able to put roofs over their heads, clothes on their backs, and food in their mouth. These fast food workers are not trying to get brownstones or mansions or, fancy cars. All they're trying to do is eat, keep some clothes on their back and their family's back, and be able to keep a roof over their head.
Well, as you know, Kendall, McDonald's and other fast food restaurants advertise enormously on radio and television. And, you see endless McDonald's ads that we're loving it all over television. And so I'm wondering whether the mainstream media is giving you a fair shake because they depend so much upon this advertising. Do you feel that you are getting the kind of coverage that you deserve, that the people, the fast food workers that are joining you in these strikes are being listened to by the mainstream media?
Yeah, I think the coverage has been great. Every action and strike line that we had up today, there was tons of media out there, national and local. The media is really interested in who these workers are. It was a day when these workers were teenagers. Now they see 70% of these workers are over 20. Two-thirds of them are women. Most of them have kids and families. People are really interested in, are these really entry-level jobs only meant for a season, or is that what it used to be, and now these are really career jobs, which is what I think the media is starting to find out when they start to talk to these workers that are on strike. So, I think we're definitely getting our fair share, and I think at the end of the day, the fate of what's going to happen with these workers is in their hands, and they are determined and, made a plan this year to grow dramatically, and that's what they did, and they have now said that they will not stop until they get $15 in a union, and that's what they're going to get. And I think that the media will have no choice but to involve themselves in it and to, kind of look inside of what's really happening with these fast food workers. Because on a lot of levels, I think that what you'll see is the soul of America, because they're saying by 2020, half the jobs in America could pay less than $12.50. And if that's the case, then there's going to be a lot more people that have stories like these fast food workers around living in homeless shelters, being on public assistance, and not being able to survive. And so, I think that the media doesn't have a choice but to get the story, and I think we've definitely been getting a fair shake. Because, the media is totally invested in everything that we're doing because, it's just so big and it's growing so fast.
And you have to add to that, Kendall, that the fast food workers, 87% of fast food workers receive no health benefits. What is then, I don't want to keep you from the demonstration, but the fast food workers that have joined this demonstration, are any of their employees, Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, etc., are they retaliating against these workers?
You know, I mean, you know, look, it is true that usually the day before strikes or 2 days before strikes, employers start to call, a lot of these workers and threaten to fire them and say they're going to do this and do that. But, if it was going to work, it would have worked in November. Now workers have done this. You know, this is the fifth strike in New York, and workers are fed up. And no matter what these companies do, they're going to go on strike because this is the real reality of working in fast food. Way before November 29th or way before January of 2012 when this campaign began, workers were being fired for anything. We've seen workers who were not involved with the union be fired for eating a chicken nugget on a job. We saw a woman who was fired for drinking out of a medium cup instead of a small cup. I saw a woman that was fired because she came back to the back grill and told the manager that the burger was made wrong and a customer was yelling at her. Like, they treat these workers like they're dispensable. They toss them away like they're napkins. They treat them with no respect, and they fire them anyway. So the funny thing is trying to threaten somebody with firing them and trying to threaten a worker with a firing, and they already know that you'll fire them anyway. It just doesn't really work because these workers are just treated so badly that they're just ready to stand up and make a move. We had one employer, one Wendy's in Brooklyn during the first strike, that, we had a striker come back into the store the next day. When our strikers go back to the store the day after strikes and walk back in by community residents, local politicians, statewide politicians, clergy, and other people to say, look, these are our buddies. You know, we support them and we don't expect any nonsense, so things have been smooth. This particular young lady walked in and the GM said, there's no need for you to clock in. You're a no-call, no-show. And, she was coming out. We were coming in, about 30 of us, led by Jemani Williams, one of the city council members in New York City. She told us what happened. Jemani cleared out the store. You know, the crowd grew from about 30 to close to 200 within close to an hour. It had to be the fastest hire and fire in American history. She was fired, and 60 minutes later, she was hired back on her register. So I think that at this point, these stores understand that if they try to retaliate against these workers, the community will not hesitate to show up in droves to their store and make their presence known. And it's hard to sell burgers with 400 people inside or outside your store.
Well, just in closing, Kendall Fells, I just want to point out to the audience here, you mentioned that today's fast food workers are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and they have families to support. They're not college kids and high school kids anymore. The fact that over 7 million children live in these minimum wage households, in other words, these parents who can barely feed themselves also have children to feed. That's 1 in 10 American children live in households that don't make a living wage.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly true, and we see it all the time here. We have workers that they have to walk their children anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours to school because they can't afford to put them on the subway. It's just ridiculous. You know, we have workers that have to, they figure out how to kind of do potlucks so they can all kind of share food because they can't feed their children. We have workers that let their children eat and they don't eat for multiple days. You have to wonder what kind of society we create when we raise 1 in 10 children in poverty.
Well, Kendall Fells, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Again, I'm speaking with Kendall Fells, the president and organizing director for Fast Food Forward, a movement of New York City fast food workers protesting to raise wages and gain rights at work. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how at a time when banks are making record profits, bank tellers do not make a living wage.